Michael, how you doing?
Good to see you.
I was just wandering around the neighborhood.
Yeah.
I heard there was a meeting. But anyway, whoever it is, my thought was get them on board and create again a little theater.
Do we know of anyone who's a no-show or is going to be late? Should we wait any longer?
Let me know. She'll be out.
Okay.
Shoshana is still out of the country.
Okay. Well, we have quorum, so might as well get started. It looks like, I suppose we'll go ahead and start the July 16th DRB meeting. Can we start off with roll call, please?
Carolyn Adams, Brad Brown.
Here.
Carlos Castaneda.
Here.
Shoshana Cohen, Navita Lukanova, Tim Olson.
Here.
Dave Russell.
Here.
All right. Today on the agenda, we have a response conference for 312 Central Way. Before that, I'd like to remind everyone to please silence your cell phones. And if you have anything that you would like to talk about, any member of the public would like to talk about something that's not on the agenda tonight, that's not 312 Central Way, you're welcome to please come up to the podium. All right, then we can just go ahead and get started with the response conference.
All right, thank you. Tony Levitt with the Planning Department. I'll just do a brief staff overview of what was discussed at the previous meeting, and then we'll let the applicant get into their presentation. So again, the goals of the meeting tonight are for the DRB to conduct a design response conference. We want you to review how the applicant has responded to the DRB's direction. From the previous design response conference, to consider any public comments and discuss design topics identified by our staff or other topics identified by the DRB. The DRB should review the applicant's response to the June 18th meeting comments and direction. Your options are to approve the project or continue the project to a future meeting if needed. If you do continue the project to a future meeting, we will want to provide direction to the applicant on what materials and other things they'll need to submit. Again, the DRB's authority is to review the project for consistency with design guidelines for the pedestrian-oriented business districts. If applicable, zoning regulations that require DRB approval and minor variations allowed by the zoning code. Staff review will involve review of the building permits, review of building permits application, including the height. We will look at also landscape buffer modifications and the landscape buffer requirements. And we would also look at rooftop appurtenances and any modifications that the applicant would pursue. Again, the site is located at 312 Central Way. Site currently contains a Wendy's restaurant that would be removed for the proposed development. The applicant is proposing a four-story mixed-use building. The street level would consist of commercial space and a residential lobby. There would be three levels of residential above, approximately 72 units. There would be structured parking with the entrance off of Central Way. The applicant is also pursuing a upper story setback minor variation request that they will go over with you. On June 18th, we held our first design response conference. The board in general was accepting of the overall design, but the board did request the applicant submits the following items. They requested the applicant submit third and central way corner treatments, including size, scale, and ground level transparency. Wanted to look at revising the design on that. Provide higher quality renderings that clearly show materials, textures, and colors. Ensure the building colors do not make the building look homogenous. Provide additional site context as well. You asked that they address the treatment of the blank walls along 3rd Street. Ideas include increasing glazing, use of landscaping, and use of trellis as options. Do you want the applicant to recalculate the encroachments, including balconies, into the required setback yards for the minor variation request? Show drip lines of existing trees and construction impacts to those trees. Provide roof cap details to demonstrate the project design intent. Provide wall sections depicting the extent of the exterior window glazing. Include more detailed 3D information depicting the extent of the roof landscape, as well as mechanical equipment and solar panels. Also provide more detailed 3D and sectional information depicting the impact difference between the preferred and compliant rooftop schemes. Provide spot elevations for all sides of the building, showing the relationship of building finished floors to the exterior level. The applicant has submitted plans that were sent to you that show this, and the applicant will provide analysis during their presentation. Again, the minor variation criteria, just to go over that real quick again, it allows a applicant to request minor variations to the minimum required setback yards in the CBD zone. The DRB may grant a minor variation only if it finds that the following are met. The request results in superior design and fulfills the policy basis for the applicable design regulations and guidelines. And the departure will not have any substantial detrimental effect on nearby properties in the city or the neighborhood. So we'll want you to provide direction regarding the requested variations to the required 20-foot setback from along Central Way. Again, so we'll want you to provide feedback on how the design guidelines apply to the proposed development and if the application has met those requirements. And we'll also want you to provide feedback on the requested changes and information the applicant has submitted and the minor setback variations. With that concludes my presentation. So I'll take any questions or we can go on to the applicant.
I think we're ready to just dive in.
Okay, sounds great.
Thank you, Tony, and thank you, Review Board, coming out again. I think it was just over, a little over a month that we were here presenting the first design response conference presentation. As Tony had mentioned, this focuses mostly on those criteria that were requested by the Review Board last time to give some familiarity and some comfort for them to be able to, you guys to be able to approve the design and the departure that we are requesting. And again, these items have been mentioned by, just were mentioned by Tony. So we're going to go through a bullet point, line by line item, these items here as the presentation was forward, focusing on those. I wanted to stop here at this aerial rendering because it most encompasses all of the design approaches and the design goals that we were looking at for this project. And we feel very strongly that our design, after some iterations and some feedback, internal and external, with different groups, that we've come up with a really good solution. And this is this aerial demonstrates that. We feel that the project also hits upon the goals of the team, as well as in the spirit of the design guidelines and the zoning regulation necessary from the city of Kirkland. Some of those items being the center element from the ground level up to the roof, the roof elements, the active roof, very important for this project, as well as the modulation, horizontal and vertical, as you can see in the aerial. The acknowledgement of a corner, not only at the ground level, but in the architecture above. And lastly, but most importantly, the ground level engagement. You can see the transparency at the lower level and the landscaping and the sidewalks engaging the pedestrian for interior and exterior engagement. We're going to go through a series of slides here. These are the 3D renderings that were requested. We'll go through a series here. This is the corner rendering, also shown here on the board in front of you. Catty corner from the Third and Central Way corner. This is the same rendering, though, without the landscape, so you can get a better understanding of the modulation and the activity and the ground level transparency of the building. We move down the street and we start focusing more on the central component of this project. You'll notice in the right-hand corner we have what we call our interim roof design. This is the design that does qualify for our rooftop appurtenance. Again, that same rendering without the landscape, so you can see the center elements that are important to the project. This is the preferred roof design, granted if we receive later on the approval to move forward with rooftop amenity levels and decks, and that coverage would be represented here. This is the landscape with and without. Moving down to the east, this is the building from across from the park. Again, the interim design, roof design, which is, as you notice, smaller than the preferred with and without landscape. The preferred with and without landscape. And then the Third Street facade, which was something of some interest for the review board. And you'll notice that we've stepped back the building in the landscape buffer. We are not encroaching into that as we once were, and we're showing the landscape opportunities not only from sidewalk adjacent to the sidewalks, but also the green wall approach that we're showing here. So the review board comments. I'm now going to go through those line items that we talked about before. Show drip lines of existing trees and construction impacts to the trees. This diagram in the upper left shows the red line shows the extent of our development and shows the trees that would be impacted by that. Those are the lighter toned, and the darker toned color are the trees that we are planting back. We have a total of 23 trees that are going to be removed, and we're going to replace them with 37 trees. You also see a diagram below showing roughly the existing tree heights and their locations in respect to our building's profile. Third Street facade, we just talked about this, but address the treatment of blank wall along Third Street, increase glazing, use of trellis as an option. So we have retail glazing at the corner. We extended it further to the north. We wrapped it around a little bit farther than what we previously had. We also are adding the trellis green wall design, as you see, along the board form concrete wall that's behind it. As I mentioned earlier, the residential facade has been pushed back along the landscape buffer, but we have pushed out to gain some of that area back along the Third Street, along Third Street, as we are able to do, as there isn't a setback requirement on that street side. I just wanted to add an area, or I wanted to add at the lower level here, the blank wall treatment actually from the zoning code, that vertical trellis, climbing vines, or plant material in front of the blank wall is an acceptable technique for blank wall treatments. Next comment, study the third and central corner treatment, including size, scale, ground level, and ground level transparency. We've extruded the extruded element that we once had is not as much as because we have pulled out the Third Street facade, so it nestles a little bit better back into the project. Decrease the thickness of that extrusion as well, the frame size, and we reduced the contrast and color that we once had. The retail overhang.
Screen?
I'm sorry?
Could you point out what you were talking about on the screen? Just.
Can you see it?
Don't see it yet.
So the frame.
Right.
This frame.
So that's thinner, both top and bottom?
It is.
And the glass is pulled back?
Glass is pulled back. The facade has pushed out, and it doesn't have the overhang that it once had.
Thank you.
On the Third Street side. We did increase the transparency here by another 5 to 6 feet. And let me back on track here. On the retail overhang, aligned with the exterior wall, it once was out a little bit farther, but now we've pressed it back and aligned it with that concrete wall. A component out of the code, just mentioning about corners, a 10-foot sidewalk is being a requirement, which we have, an entranceway that we're looking at and doing. Provide one or more of the elements listed. They request, don't necessarily request this, but you can utilize these as an element on the corner design, roof deck, balconies above the ground level, and distinctive use of facade materials. I think number 5 is something that we utilize in this design for this element right here. Provide special or unique treatment other than the use of fabric or vinyl awnings for pedestrian weather protection at the corner of the building. Next comment, provide renderings that clearly show materials, textures, and colors. Ensure the building's colors do not make the building look homogeneous. We have the renderings that we had just shown before, but this is more of a technical 3D rendering with the cross section shown here. Basically, the things to take to note are the dark concrete panels, which we have also material board in front of me that you're welcome to come up and look at, touch and feel. Some metal accents, the canopy at the podium, wood soffits, perforated metal privacy screens. Oh, I went back. That was the west side. The east side is a different approach, has a different character in which it is lighter in color, but still trying to utilize the depths of the wood and the metal and some of the concrete board form to help add more articulation and interest on the facade. Another one of the comments had to deal with the rooftop design. So include more detailed 3D information depicting the extent of the roof landscape as well as mechanical equipment and solar panels. Also provide more detailed 3D and sectional information depicting the impact difference between the preferred and compliant rooftop schemes. Here we're showing a number one roof, green roof with various plantings and weavings. Very extensive roof approach on both sides, even a side that we necessarily, the client would necessarily get a lot of bang for, but we are providing landscape all the way around on this side of the project. The tall planting, we're also showing the solar panels, which we did not indicate before, but they're on this side. They're shown there. We have a pet relief area, and we have a vestibule for vertical circulation, which is number 5 right in here. And this is the rooftop appurtenance, basically the size that would be coming up. We also show from the view from the alley, the interim roof. This is based the scale or the size of the facade that you would see. You'll notice we've added another one from the preferred. You can get an idea of what the preferred size would be in relationship to the interim size. All other things are basically exactly the same, except that there's an interior enclosed amenity space, and the roof is a little bit larger, obviously, to cover that up. Provide roof cap details to demonstrate the project's intent and provide wall sections depicting the extent of the exterior window glazing. The window glazing is roughly from floor to ceiling on all levels, and at 6'6" and 2'2", you got about an 8.5-foot floor to ceiling glass. And then there's the detail, simple detail for the cap that we are providing for the project. Ground level plan with spot elevations. Provide spot elevations for all sides of the building showing the relationship of building finished floor levels to exterior levels. Now this is a split plan. So we're combining Central Avenue and we're combined with the alley. The alley is roughly 52 at this point and 36 here, but you can get an idea of the spot elevations behind here on the alley side in relationship to what the alley actual elevations are, and then along the retail facades here, the ideas, getting the relating dimensions here of 32.5 with roughly 32.5 here. This will provide you with the understanding of how the project actually slopes around, which is quite significant. Setback encroachment. Recalculate the encroachments, including balconies, into the required setback yards for the minor variation requested. This diagram shows an additional color, which is this color here, hard to see on this screen, but this is the balcony setback that we've now added to the calculation. Anything green is something that is coming back from it's not encroaching into any of the setback, and so this is the green numbers are pulling back from the property lines, and the yellow numbers are things that are actually encroaching, either not past the property lines, but actually into the setback lines. The basic numbers to note that 233 without the balconies, that was the number we had before, area that we were requesting that was encroaching as a total number, and the net area now with the balconies is 1,942 square feet spread out over 300 feet and three floor levels. Just another note here, techniques to achieve human scale that on a building facade visible from a street, we need to provide balconies. So basically we have to provide an encroachment anyways because of the balconies, but we do provide more balconies than necessary. The north facade updates. This was not necessarily a request, but this is an update that we went forward with based on some of the discussions we had in our last meeting. We have now pulled the facade back along basically the entire alley. We do not have any encroachment of the building into the landscape buffer beyond what is allowed. And you can see the design has changed a bit. We had to flatten it in some places because of the modulation would eat up into the units. It's pretty tough to design them right now, and so this is something that is a progression that we've made. I want to also bring, there's some extra comments here, some things I brought in from the zoning literature. Basically, bay windows are allowed to encroach as long as our landscape buffer requirements are met, which we are doing. Structures, what are bay windows? Well, by the definition, they were like 50%. Whatever is coming 18 inches into the extrusion, I'm sorry, 18 inches into the encroaching into the landscape buffer is can be described as a bay window as long as that bay window has 50% glazing. We can also have an additional 18 inches if need be for some design character on those, like awnings or other cornice pieces. Thing to note is that we are only allowed to do that for 25% of the facade. That's a 300-foot facade, and so we have 75 feet that we're using in this area, and this area. Now, the appendix is a collection of plan sections and elevations. Those things really haven't changed much other than the landscape buffer that you see now. You see more of it than we had before as we have stepped back the building facade. So as we move up through the project, you will see we're holding that line. And we move up through the plans. You've seen these plans before. I don't want to really get into it because there really isn't much that's different. There is the plan there for the preferred roof design. We have the parking, as well as now the elevations, which have changed. The alley side has changed, as well as the Third Street elevation has changed. Material boards, basically the same, but we have added more materials and collected them in a different way here in front of me that you're, again, welcome to look at. And the departure that we're looking for is an encroachment, upper story encroachment into the setback on Central Way. We have more definition of what all of that is here. We can read that if need be, but that is basically the departure that we are requesting tonight. That does conclude the presentation I would like to give. And I'm going to focus it back here on this rendering. And that's it. Any questions before I sit down? Yes.
Tim, you look like you got some.
I've got a couple. The renderings at times show and don't show those fun-filled traffic boxes at 3rd and Central, and I know previously there was mention that we may be able to get rid of them. Obviously, the traffic light standard stays, but there were some additional control boxes. Is that to be determined?
That is to be determined.
Okay.
Still working on what we can do with that.
If they don't go away, do they seriously affect how we do the sidewalks or just people walk around them and like they do now? Actually, they don't now because the sidewalks, they're off in the planting, as I recall.
I think if they stayed, the effect that they would have, of course, if they were gone, it would be better, but the effect that they would have on the retail, the retail's pulled back, mm-hmm. so we do have a significant pathway between them and the facade of the retail.
Okay. Question kind of for you and for staff. It looks like it's Bartell Drugs, or is that a placeholder? Just somebody in?
We're working with that group now. And
it appears to be an internally lit sign, which is not allowed. Is that correct? Or is it just red and white and lit from ambient light at night, or what?
We haven't gone that
far. Yeah. I think sign permits will come later.
Yeah. But no, it can't be a can. We don't allow can signs, and I wouldn't think can signs are being proposed at this location.
Yeah, this is just a representation rendering of who might be there.
Okay.
So signage obviously would follow code, and whatever would be allowed in the city of Kirkland would be appropriately done here.
Right. To the extent that the sign and the color and everything else, it's the only splash of red that we see anywhere that is more dominant than just a simple sign that doesn't have the red vertical pieces that may be inside, but still it kind of carries through. And I just, sign code, yes, but if the DRB, has a say in it, it'd be nice to know if we need to look at that now or not.
I don't think staff has really spent any time looking at the signage for compliance at this point. It's the design guidelines don't get that much into color, obviously. If you strip the signs off, you have some red facade there.
Mm-hmm. On the Third Street side, it shows all the really nice vines growing. It appears that they're all growing down from up above. is that in planter boxes, or do we, is there stuff that is planted at the ground level and then climbs up? Or do we,
the intent
do we
is
know?
Ground level and climbs up.
It would be ground and climbing up. So we don't see it, Gardens of Babylon, hanging over the rail?
Correct.
Okay. Let's see. The privacy screens, I see the material, but they, I mean, it is, what, 16 gauge at most, and there appears to be no frame, no, they're just sort of these fins that just appear. Is there, I mean, how are they?
The sample is 16 gauge, but, you know, when we actually put them in, they'll probably be 3/16 inch thick.
Okay, and they're frameless? They just are?
They'll be connected to the building at this point in time and into a thing, and there'll be a blade coming out.
Okay.
At this point, but we still have to look at the detailing.
Okay. And it looks like some of, I mean, the separation between some of the units, especially at those balconies, there appear to be small little planting areas. Are the blades on one side of that or the other, or do, how do
pretty
those?
Much right in the center.
In the center. So there's growees?
You have, yeah, each side has a planter box to enjoy.
On the minor modification request for the setback encroachments, specifically on central, is there a reason the second floor balconies are not shown as encroaching?
Actually, in the encroachment calculation and everything, that is the encroachment out with the balconies.
Well, it's level two, because basically level two, we're able to build out to the property line. Right at the ground level development on CDC in this site, we can build out to the property line. We're not building out the property line because we can't, because we have a realignment of the street that's pulling back in what we can actually develop. So you see this little triangle right here?
Yeah.
That is basically the area that we are losing from our property line to build upon. So if we were able to build out to that property line to begin with, then on top of that would just be roof or balcony, correct? So we really don't have a building that's encroaching. That's just the roof.
You have human habitation at that, within a foot or two of the property line at that second floor level. As a deck,
yeah.
As a balcony,
yeah.
There's people there. That's, I mean, that is a second floor use and occupation, correct?
It's allowed in the setback, and we typically see that over these buildings that have ground. It's a rooftop use of a one story that's allowed there. So we have typically seen that, not counted that as a setback in encroachment.
So why did we count it at Capri? Why did we look in great detail at what?
At the rooftop on the first level?
Well, there was.
I don't remember looking at that. And
I know. Capri and everything else, we've never had second floor decks, essentially, that are out over, I mean, literally cantilevered over a sidewalk below, which we do here.
Yeah.
And that's not counted as an encroachment into the setback.
Well, if it's, I'm not sure I'm understanding correctly, but if it's a deck on top of the roof, and the roof is, and that first floor is allowed to go to the 0-foot setback. Roof decks on that ground floor have typically been allowed, and they're
probably. But the roof decks are on the second floor. The roof decks are not on the first floor, on the ground floor, correct?
I'm not sure. Maybe I need a section diagram to understand the question.
Well,
but if it's a rooftop deck, mm-hmm. So a deck sitting on top of the roof of the ground floor that's allowed to encroach.
Okay. Okay. That's all I have, Brad.
Okay.
Question wise.
Carlos?
No.
Or anyone can jump in. Anyone has questions?
No comments at this point for me. Well, I've got a couple. Do you have 3D views of the south and the west of the project before and after the changes? You've made a few changes. I just wondered if you
I don't have them in this presentation.
Could you comment on, you said that there are more materials. Can you put up, you've got a few more materials. Could you put up something? Yeah, I looked at them, but I wondered, can you show me how they're used?
The idea of a few more materials, because I didn't really add any more materials. I added a few more materials to the material board to help express
the
design intent.
High-resolution renderings are there to show the influx of the materials being not homogeneous and how they tile out and show the differences of modulation and color.
And on the board over there is the masonry base. Oh, great. Is a sample of that on the board?
I don't have a sample of the board form. I have an image of the intent of the board form.
But it's quite a bit more textured, rougher surface. Is that there?
Yeah.
Okay, mm-hmm. Thank you. And you still, is this still planned to be a LEED Platinum project?
Yes.
Okay, so
questions I had were, maybe I missed it, what is the metal that's, above the bartels? What was that? I didn't see it on the board.
It's a patinaed look metal. Mm-hmm. We want it to look patinaed, but we also don't want it to cry orange. So we're going to find the right metal.
Mm-hmm. Like a steel or a copper?
A lot of people think of a Corten, mm-hmm. but it's not a Corten, which is meant to weather.
Yeah.
It's a steel that's actually weathered in a process in a warehouse to mm-hmm. a specific patina and then sealed.
Yeah.
So to stop the patina. So it is a steel... still fascia with a weathered look to it, and then it's going to have a sealant around it so it stays that color.
Okay.
And it won't change over time because it's a sealed mm-hmm. product.
Is it a certain panel size, or obviously it's not just a continuous piece of...
We haven't gotten into the shop drawings of it.
But it will look fairly plainer.
The panels are going to be... You won't have a 2-foot panel going in. It will be larger,
stretched
panels.
As much as possible. Exactly.
Yeah,
appearance similar to kind of how it's depicted.
That's the intent.
Okay.
But it won't be fully that length because that's just a huge piece of steel to hang.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then underside of the ground floor canopies, what are those? I think I asked last time, and it was still to be determined. I see all the balconies, on the residential levels is all that wood panel. Is it going to be that, or have we decided?
It'll be a metal. It won't be a corrugated metal, but it will be a seamed metal.
Okay. Yeah, my only concern for the city is I would not want it to be an exposed corrugated metal. I see those, and I just think they look unfinished. So
the intent is not to be a corrugated. It's supposed to be a metal panel,
mm-hmm.
Finished metal panel.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, those are the only material questions I had, Dave. Yeah.
Along the alley, we have a letter from neighbors asking about positioning of the street trees. Could you put that up and just tell us how far apart they are proposed to be?
Currently,
since that's an alleyway, it's public, is it considered like a street tree spacing? It has to be regular, or is it not regulated in that way?
No, it's a landscape buffer tree. Okay. So it's along a street, but it's not a street tree.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay.
We get to this one. This one shows up there. Which would be...
Are you talking about graphic, Dave, that was at the beginning of the presentation that showed the removal versus the added? This?
Yeah, there we go. Yeah. Whoops, that was it. So what's the spacing on the top, roughly, would you guess?
20 feet.
It is 10 feet?
20.
Oh, it's 20 feet. Okay. Thank you.
And that's per requirement.
Code.
Per code.
Thank you. Well, let me follow that up. This letter asks that they be doubled. There'd be double the number. How practical is that in your design? What would be the impact of trying to do that?
Defer to our landscape.
Yeah, hi. Miles Harvey Hewitt, Landscape Architecture. So currently we're showing these at about 20 to 18 feet on center, per the code, they're 78% evergreen trees. And if we doubled them, currently, Brian, I'm not sure where in the rendering it went, but there was a picture of
other vegetation.
So currently we're showing their spacing here is they're fitting in between each of the bay. And if we start putting them closer than 20 feet to 18 feet on center, it starts both to crowd out the units and over-densify into the alleyway. So we can look at maybe there are opportunities for tucking more in there, but based on what code says and how we're laying out the architecture, it's kind of building this rhythm that supports the whole alleyscape.
Okay, thank you. And while we're at it, what are those trees?
Currently we have them as Vanderwolf pine, the slender limber pine, so we're not getting into the alleyway. And then they're highlighted with our 30% deciduous at kind of each of the entrances and on the corner to keep it a little bit lighter.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And what's the typical diameter?
They start as a required 8 feet height, but we would maybe go for a little bit larger. But they start getting to 15 feet as they're getting to their full development, which would start to shade out the units and kind of really bulk up that whole frontage a little bit heavily.
Well, we're still on the alley. I know it's not necessarily the applicant's responsibility, but there's currently that large retaining wall from the other project on the north side. Is that going to be taken out so the alley is truly opened up, or do we?
We have.
And are the alleys? Are
the alley is the alley. We're coming up to our property line, but it's on the other side of the alley. It's not ours.
So is the alley going to be finished with the ultra blocks and everything in the proposals for the north side of the alley and then get taken out right away? I mean, or is there some coordination involved with what's going on there?
The alley's being installed on the with the project to the north at the 16-foot mm-hmm. wide. The rockery on the south side of the alley is on the Bartels property, so that's coming out and be retained by garage wall essentially on the north side of the windy side,
mm-hmm.
But the full width will be 16 feet with.
But if the actual usable width, if that bulkhead is not taken out, is about 3 feet or 4 feet, it looks like, on the south side of that bulkhead that's there. And I don't know, I mean, if it's there illegally and it's going to be taken out or what. And again, it's not the applicant's responsibility, but it sure will affect how that looks and feels.
Yeah, are you talking on the west side of the alley or the
north side?
It's sort of the midpoint almost.
Yeah, it's right behind, it's about right there, right behind that unit. There's a significant retaining wall there.
5 or 6 feet high.
Yeah, at least six, because it was taller than my car when I drove by it. And it is positioned outward in the alley. It feels like it's too close to me. Because when I drove through there, you could barely drive through currently. But in our project, we are only dealing with our site on that side of the alley, on the south side of the alley, not the
north. And the spot elevation diagram showed the differences where we're, but it didn't seem like the renderings match what actually is going on according to the spot elevations. I mean, it seems like
they do. We're
sometimes, our trees are up above start of the alley on third, and then we end up with extra retainage for the tree planters. And you know, when the alley's above our 50-foot level, is that?
Are you talking about where the alley dives to hit Third Avenue?
No. If you're going from west to east, at some point the alley is higher than your 50-foot rear decks.
It is.
It is.
And it's that right here.
Right.
And so all of these trees are planted in a planter that is on the deck, that 50-foot deck.
It's up above. So the planting depth is not 50 feet. It's higher than that even
when it's in the planter.
When the alley is lower. Okay.
Yes.
And there are two exits essentially that climb different amounts of stairs to get up to the alley.
Yes.
Those are required.
Exits
or there's convenience.
All required.
Okay.
All right. If there's no other questions from the board, I'd like to move into
public questions and comments. If anyone has any thoughts they'd like to share about the design of the building, please sign in. I think we have a sign-up sheet, and come to the podium. I think you get 3 minutes to speak. Is it Marin?
March. I live in the condominiums.
It'd be great if you
To stand
the
up
mic.
Here where you could actually hear me. The condominiums behind, they're the four-unit condominiums. And our concern is the plans are great, and we've met with Anthony, Mark, and Michael, and we love that they listened to us. They actually walked over and looked at our alley to see what was going on. But our concerns are those big evergreen trees, because we're slowly losing all of the natural trees that Kirkland had. And when you take out those trees, that's some of the last of the remaining ones. And it seems to me that it's more feasible if we could leave more of those trees and build around them to keep them part of the community, because we need them for our environment. Where behind this unit they put in the 6 townhouses, I used to sit in my office and watch bald eagles in the trees. Now those are all gone. So if we don't kind of start protecting what we have, then we're just going to be nothing but buildings and trees that are just planted and will take another 20 years to become full growth. And so it's our concern when we look. I know it's not supposed to be a visual thing. It's just the idea of, can we save? There's 22 trees, but if you could save the 12 sitting in the back, that would actually increase, I think, for the people living in the apartments, their view to be able to look at these gorgeous trees, and it would help with the environment. So that's kind of where we're at. And then another quick question, which has nothing to do with this, but and you brought it up. That retaining wall that sits there on the alley, it's a foot cement retaining wall. It's going to obstruct us coming in and out of our garage also, and we don't know what the purpose is. So that was just one that when you brought up, I thought I could. But that's our concern. It's just keeping these trees and keeping Kirkland. Why we moved here, because it's a walking community. It's a community down by the water. It's a peaceful, beautiful place to live. And if we keep doing this and removing all of it, we're going to lose that. So that's our concern as neighbors. Thank you.
You're here.
Thank you. And next up we have June.
Good evening. My comments go along with Margie, that we just made a comment. And as you remember, in the first meeting, we presented a letter to Design Review Board. And Kirkland, City of Kirkland, has been in line with walkable and preserving nature. And This removing 22 mature trees, especially evergreen, is against what we have been hearing from the city's point of preserving nature. And those trees we have been seeing birds comes in and the squirrel climb up and uses. And a lot of animal I've seen. Raccoon come and visit that alley area, and we are merely asking from the environmental point of view to preserve those mature trees that has took so long to grow and contribute to a lot of noise, dust, a playground for natural creatures. And that's what we are asking for. And if we get, I realize that they said there has been some modification has been made, but if that can be possible, that modification can be made to retain that trees and move, make it maybe different plants to preserve those trees. Thank you.
Thank you. Next is Brad.
Thanks for giving us the opportunity to present our cases. We're all three residents of the same property, so I'm going to echo what Marge and June said and largely summarize. But you know, I think kind of the wonder slide on the deck for us was on my page is A11, but on this one was A17, which just shows the building structure against the existing tree line. And again, I'm not going to bore you with stats and sentiments you've already heard, but you know, our concern again is largely the skyline. One of our neighbors just pointed out there's an evergreen tree in the city's logo there. But as you know, from our small studies and walking around the neighborhood, those are probably some of the largest evergreens kind of remaining in the general downtown area. And we understand that we might not be able to preserve them all, but we'd like to do our best to save what we can and that preservation of skyline and nature. You know, the other fact is we really enjoyed meeting with the designer and developer and appreciate their interests and concerns. And the existing or their proposed tree planting, while nice, it will be probably well past all of our lifetimes before we really get to enjoy what we already have with regards to where those trees will be and where they'll need to grow during our ownership and so forth. But again, I'm largely just going to summarize of just trying to do our best to preserve what we've already got in our very beautiful city while preserving a sense of buffer and so forth between the residents. Thank you.
Thank you. And next is Pam.
Yes, my name's Pam Cavedra. I have a question. Is this Bartels, is it going to go all the way through to the back of the building? How far back does it extend? All the way to the back. Are they going to be expecting to have a drive-through window, which so many Bartels have further? Okay, thank you. Also, I want to know more about this rooftop area. You say it has a dog poop area. That's nice. What is going to be up there? Are there going to be barbecues? Are there going to be music? Is there going to be bars set up? Because the sound coming off of that rooftop area is going to drift right up the hill. I hear them when they cheer at the baseball field, it comes right up. Any sound coming off that rooftop is going to drift right north, right up to where we all live. And I don't want to hear it, basically. The subject of the trees, the vertical trellis on the west side. What is your approximation of how long it's going to take these vines to grow and put out greenery? It's not going to happen overnight. It's going to take years. So we're just going to have a blank wall there for a couple of years until that greenery takes root and climbs up that trellis. It's real pretty in the picture, but it's not going to look like that for years. And I think something should be done about that. And as I stated, you talk about a tree barrier. You've already got trees there, beautiful old trees. I used to live in Bellevue, and I've seen what's happened to downtown Bellevue. It's a sterile concrete jungle. And if that's what you want for Kirkland, then you're on the right track, but that's not why I moved here. I moved here because of the greenery. I'm the one who pointed out the last meeting you have a tree in your city logo. But I guess that doesn't mean very much. And when we've got beauty that's natural and is there, we should preserve it. Preserve what we've got. Just don't go down and mow down stuff. You're taking away a part of the heritage of Kirkland and why people move here. I walk downtown all the time, and people go, God, I love it here. Visitors, I love it here. It's so beautiful. I love it here. They're not going to be saying that much longer, the rate we're going. So that's all I wanted to say. I have questions on parking, and is there going to be low-income housing? Isn't that a law that you have to provide so much low-income housing in these buildings? And we haven't even touched on that, but we haven't touched on the parking, and, of course, I brought up at the last meeting about the workmen. You're going to have quite a crew building this thing. Where are they going to park when they come to work every day? They're going to be on my street again, as it's been for the last 3 years. I'm not happy. I am not happy at all. Thank you.
Thank you. Some salient points brought up by members of the community. A few that we can address right now. Vine growth timeline.
Well, it depends on our plant selection, but... It partially depends on our vine selection, but one thing that's a little bit hard to see in this rendering is that we're actually providing almost 7 trees directly in front of that wall as well. That'll kind of speed up that buffering of the corner. And so we've got certain selection that we can do in 2 or 3 seasons that'll get maybe 50 to 60%, but I think the architects have done a good job of also kind of future-proofing it, that the metal framework they're providing is kind of a little bit more artistic than just your standard trellis as well. So I think with the trees and the eventual vine growth, it's pretty immediate.
All right. And I feel similarly with a lot of the public statements made about preserving trees. I've done projects in Portland, who is, I don't know, borderline authoritarian in their protection of their existing trees. And I know Seattle has all sorts of requirements about, like, heritage trees, you know, of a certain size and caliper. You can't obstruct into the root growth zone. Does Kirkland have any such laws requiring, because some of these are huge trees, and it's surprising that we are losing all of them. Is there anything in the code that prohibits that?
So primarily what our code looks at is trees that are in required setbacks. In this case, we don't have any required setbacks along the alley. The other thing we look at is the amount, you know, we look at the disturbance area of the tree and whether or not, you know,
the project can
survive mm-hmm. with disturbances. The issue we have here is, you know, this whole row of trees is basically at the central way level. And so that's going to have a huge impact on, I think, as the applicant showed in their presentation on the design of the building, it would truly restrict the amount of area that they could develop on the property.
Yeah. No, the graphic they provided was nice. And I didn't have much doubt that the trees wouldn't be able to survive. I myself have worked on projects where we've been forced to protect something that looked pretty sad. And so I see these huge trees that are gorgeous, and I don't know how old they are, but, you know, it's just a shame we're losing them. But it doesn't seem like there's anything in the board's power to try and keep them. And I do appreciate the designer's effort to more than replace what's going in. I would just encourage you to maybe take another look at your plant selection and see if you can find something that can get a little bit more height or width to, you know, kind of recapture what we're losing. In response, again, we had comments about construction workers parking on the residential streets. I know this comes later with the building permit, but I would encourage staff to look at the construction plan. You know, I know that they usually have to submit some information about storage materials and also take a look at where the workers are, you know, going and coming from, so it's not impacting those neighbors, because they've been under it for a few years, and I'd imagine it would get frustrating. Otherwise, what are the quiet hours? Do we have any idea what those are? Quiet hours enforced? So parties and barbecues aren't going late into the night?
Well, I did want to touch on one thing regarding, so anything with this project that will exceed the height limit will require a rooftop appurtenance modification.
Mm-hmm.
So that will be a separate zoning process where we will notify the neighbors. The applicant will submit a design for the rooftop areas, what's going to be exceeding the height limits, and then we will be sending that out to neighbors for public comments and review, and then that would be up to the planning director to just make a decision on that.
Okay.
So in regards to the rooftop appurtenances, that's how that will be handled. I'm not sure on we have noise standards within the city, so obviously if there was any violation of the noise standards, that would be subject to the police department.
So with the rooftops, then, is that just a decision by staff, or is there public hearings for that under the zoning code? Like, I guess I'm not familiar with the process. Yeah.
So what the applicant will submit a application, and we'll submit plans, including a view analysis to show any impacted views of the portions of the building that will exceed the height limit. And that will be sent out along with a public notice to all the neighbors within 300 feet of the property. They will be able to provide comments, review that. That'd be subject to, again, the plan director decision, and then I believe that would be appealable.
And I would just add to Tony's point for the benefit of some of the neighbors. There is, you saw like option one, option two on the rooftop. The Planning Commission and City Council later this year are talking about whether or not more things, more open space and amenities should be allowed on top of buildings beyond what the kind of plan A was that was shown. So that's why you saw the two different things there. So if you stay in touch with us and Tony, we can let you know when the Planning Commission is going to talk about that, because I'm sure they want to hear from folks who live next to projects also. There's pros and cons with that. But that is something that's part, that additional rooftop amenity space that's been shown is not allowed right now, but it's under discussion for potentially allowing in the future. And Brad, just one last thing on affordable housing. The state law requires that for affordable housing, you have to provide incentives that offset the cost of providing the affordable housing.
Mm-hmm.
So the Central Business District, unlike most zones in Kirkland, doesn't have an affordable housing requirement because the city wasn't amenable to adding more height to buildings that to make developers whole in exchange for affordable housing. So most zones in the Central Business District, other than Kirkland Urban, where additional height was granted, don't require affordable housing.
Good to know. All right. Well, we can move into board's deliberation. I'd love to hear everyone's thoughts.
Well,
Take it away, Carlos.
Okay. Looking at the previous presentation and the presentation and the packet they submitted, it seems to me that the corner treatment is appropriate. The color scheme blends in well with the rest of the building, and seems that it's a good outcome what they are showing today. I don't have any other comments.
So I could throw out the setback on the south. We had talked about that last time. And the way I look at it is if you add up the levels 2, 3, and 4, get the square footage of total penetration into the setback, including balconies, and then divided by the total area of the setback of the three levels, you get a total of almost 20%, most of which is balconies. I think the balconies add interest to the face of the project, so I'm inclined to think that's would be acceptable.
Yeah, Tim, you seem to have a lot of interest in
in that setback on the south side. How do you feel?
Yeah, the third floor, fourth floor, I'm fine with those balconies. The one obviously that troubles me greatly is the second floor balcony that's directly adjacent to amenity two. They did eliminate one of the amenity spaces that flanked on both sides of the central corridor from the previous version. I assume that was because of the unit loss in getting the full north setback, you know, instead of that northwest corner previously stuck out much closer to the alley line. So I assume that's where that came from. But it's the only, to my knowledge, the only second story balcony where there's a glass railing and people are at that point and there are people walking underneath it. We've never done that before, and I think it's an awkward resolution to that sort of situation, if you will. The other thing that is, yes, it's a nice protective rain screen from getting rained on from below, but if you look at the entire Third Street length, the amount of canopy coverage is just hit and miss. There's nothing at the tunnel entrances for both the loading dock and the parking have nothing, no overhead protection, unless you dive essentially into the ramp area to get underneath there. And then it picks up, you get a little bit of angled, faceted canopy protection. Nothing at the central area where the glass wall is for the big organizing central element, and then you're underneath the one that I'm objecting to, and then again it's kind of hit and miss on the sidewalk from there over. So, you know, code specifically says on where it's pedestrian-oriented situations, you need to provide canopy coverage for rain protection, and we don't have that on the far east end of it at all. The other thing, and this is totally different issue, other than the not orange metal facade color, it talked in here about how we were going to do hue variations. We have one hue throughout for everything other than those surfaces, and that is essentially gray. Just different values of gray, but it's one hue, and that's it. And I'd love to see a little more hue variations. The red splash of Bartels is definitely a different hue. But other than that, the underside of the balconies, yeah, we do get some of the wood color. But in terms of vertical surface, there's very little hue variation on the west, north, and certainly east sides. East side not heavily visible because it's going to be smack up against the adjacent property, but the rest of them is there's no variation at all. I'm afraid, especially in the north side, that's not in direct sunlight, that you won't perceive those minor value variations sufficiently enough. Yes, the east side is generally higher value. The west side is a little bit lower value, but it's still, I don't know, on a typically gray, not sunlit side, I don't know if that's enough. Enough variation to visually, you know, do what it needs to do. So that's a couple of my concerns. And we don't have a lot of detail on specific planting plans. We don't really know what that roll-up door to the loading dock is, how far it is back, what, like you'd mentioned, what the underside of that first floor is going to be. If it's like next door, we see aluminum foil insulation as far back as the eye can see, essentially, as the ramp descends. And I'd love to know. It's a huge, huge distance across there. Mm-hmm. Even with the little landing zone for avoiding traffic on the sidewalk, it's still a large, large expanse that we'll see the underside of that ceiling there. So. I actually do like the treatment on the west side. I do think the vines and the growies and the variation in the applied trellisy elements is going to work quite well, and it is heavily, heavily landscaped. As I recall, the Third Street is the actual pavement width. The third is actually west of center line, if you will. So there's a large expanse that is going to get planted out pretty nicely, mm-hmm. and with the the little meandering sidewalk that climbs the hill, it's going to be much, much better than what's there now. And yes, those trees are there. It's a real oddball mixture of some oaks and some other stuff that aren't really suitable for that area, I think. So I'm not too upset to see those go and get replaced by some much nicer trees. In terms of the tree retention issue, one of the public mentioned it. If you look at the tree retention plan for the Tosti project, the Windward or whatever it is, every single tree there was gone, was removed. So it's kind of like, you know, trees are great until it's your project and you need to build a building there, and then it's somebody else's problem, you know, to deal with it. So the inhabitants to the buildings to the east of we're losing all the trees, you know, in front of them. I don't know if it's an opportunity or an option. If it's the building they don't want to see, or if it's truly they want to see trees, maybe we do more at the roof level with some more trees and some more stuff up there that, again, on the diagram that showed the, you know, existing conifers way above the parapet level, put some more trees up there. It's not an ideal place because they get heavy and wet, and it's just you got to trace the loads down and account for that. But it is an opportunity to provide more buffering that is beyond, by far beyond, what the landscape, 15-foot landscape buffer requires. So that's about it for now, but I'm certainly interested to see what others have to say.
So I might comment that I've had a concern about the monochromatic nature of this project from the start. Mm-hmm. So I agree with that concern, and it would be interesting to see what the developer could propose that might address that concern. See, if more of us share it.
Maybe I'm in the minority, but I felt like because they're using, like, they're using a lot of, like, floor-to-ceiling, like, full-height glass, which I really like and gives it a modern look. Mm-hmm. And so I thought that, like, keeping it monotone but giving us that gradient variation kept it with that more modern, you know, appearance. I felt if we started tossing different colors in, almost like it's in a residential quiet neighborhood, it wouldn't quite jive well with the glazing. But I don't know, maybe I'm in the minority on that, but I thought that the two worked, specifically because it was that south-facing facade. I think with the extra light, it'll help you see that gradient more and reveal it. Now, maybe on the north side, you know, because it's going to always be in shade, maybe that might need a bit more, you know, looking at. But I didn't have a huge issue with it.
I actually agree with you. I also don't have a huge issue with the monochromatic. It actually, to me, doesn't feel monochromatic at all. It's with the different shades and of gray, and also with the glazing, it looks really modern. And I am actually afraid if there's more color, it might not look very contemporary and appropriate for a downtown area in general. And also, as far as the trees go, I actually was thinking also that maybe some additional trees on the roof deck would help. But I'm hearing that the roof deck will be something that will separately.
Yeah, yeah. I like that reviewed. It's got an extra review process. That makes me feel better about any of the proposed changes going on to the roof, you know.
And we've seen all around downtown Kirkland a few examples of successful trees higher up, and I think that could be achieved and will be a nice addition to that project.
I do think, Tim, you bring up some good points about the east side and a lack of canopy coverage there. I think we almost kind of forgot about it because you're so focused at 3rd and Central. Maybe we can ask you guys to step back up. That parking garage entrance, how far is that pulled back? Is it possible to add some pedestrian canopy coverage there, or is it just so deep, like there's no way you could, like, structurally support something like that? But I do think that we need to provide some more coverage in that area for any pedestrians walking down Central Way.
We'd have to study it. That would be the answer. Because we do take into consideration some the elevation changes and the heights of the trucks coming in, and that this slopes down from farther out around the curb. Or, well, there's some interesting slope happening right in there. I just have to make sure that...
It's a real warped surface.
We just have to make sure everything works.
You're losing almost 3.5 feet from that far, far east end to where the where the loading dock trucks have to get into.
And when we did the initial study, if you put a canopy in that area, the truck hit.
Yeah.
Okay.
So when you look at how the trucks come in and the bend up and the, you know, the actual box would hit a canopy that if you pulled it out further, because the actual sloping in
I see that due
to its central way is quite dramatic there.
So in the plan diagrams, there are a series of little sequentially spaced circles or dots. What are those?
Those are warning lights.
Yeah, it's like a pedestrian warning light that will flash.
Oh, cars are coming
Because when we worked with traffic,
we
needed a live indicator.
Was the audible the beep as well, or is it? Okay.
Car approaching, or, you know, someone saying, watch out.
Okay.
And then the material, how far deep in does it go? Tim asked if that was just going to be the foil, or if we'd actually have high-quality materials diving back into the garage entry.
We would have a better quality than the foil, by far.
Our intent is not to just foil face some insulation and have it go in, because you'll be seeing that from the road.
Just from experience, Arate, we ended up with not only the underside of a pretty ugly ceiling, there's, I think, also a mini split or a large mini split hanging off the sidewall there. Capri next door, after it was out of our hands, it got changed. There's a much wider opening with multiple, you know, residents only through here and all that, and it has foil that you see with, as I recall, little to no rain protection there. Admittedly, the code doesn't expect continuous, absolutely you're never going to get wet. It's often pretty typical you get a landing spot if it's really dump, and if it's just a general mist, that's what we live in. But if it's the real dump, you kind of just go from spot to spot. But this one, it's a long distance before you've got any coverage whatsoever. So I do anticipate people probably would dive into and start down the ramp if they need to get out of the weather, you know, at that location. It's not terrible if, you know, if there's nobody coming through with a vehicle, but it isn't sidewalk canopy protection. It's, you know, into the building, essentially, to stay dry there, so.
Any other comments or deliberation from the board?
I've had a concern right along about the sort of the feature of the protruding hanging frame, but I guess the hanging frames seem to be the thing for architects nowadays.
The one on the west corner or this one?
Well, I was particularly concerned with the one on the west corner, but that's been toned down a little. I still think that and the one in the middle are unusual items to draw more than their share of attention.
I think that's the intent of the design. Is
yeah.
This is not suburban. This is
yeah.
urban in flavor. And that there's nothing wrong with that. One of my sort of issues with it overall is that I think the scale and the granularity, if you will, of some of the elements are for viewing from a much greater distance instead of pedestrians or even across the street at the poplar trees. You know, just large, large expanse of forehead above the canopies and the two storefronts there that's just, as I recall, that's board form concrete. Is that what that is there? Yeah, it's a nice urban textury feel, but there's not a lot of detail to it there, you know, in terms of you know, 8 and 10, 15 feet above you at most. There's no, scale-wise, it's just, it works at a much larger larger building, larger scale, you know, the bottom of the board form concrete, how that transitions to the underside of the soffit or the ceiling in there, you know, those kind of detail are things that you see from, you know, 10 feet away is much different than when you're driving by at 40 miles an hour at a larger building. The other canopies at the other ends, and actually even at those two right there, they don't appear to have, I mean, they're just totally cantilevered out from inside. It looks like there's no tie backs, there's no suspension to hold it up. Is that correct?
Yep.
Okay. And did Brad, you asked about the underside of those? Is that the ones?
Yes, yes.
We don't want to see
as long
corrugated.
As it's literally anything but just the plain unfinished corrugated metal. It looks like,
as you can see from our material samples, we do not have
But what do we have on the underside of those? And does the water just sit up there? How does it get out of, you know?
Well,
does
we'll detail it appropriately.
Okay.
The intent is it's going to be on the lower level. Metal panel soffit.
Mm-hmm.
That is a higher quality metal panel, you know, rather than just like a corrugated piece of steel that's put up to the. It'll be seamed and.
Okay.
It'll have lighting and.
And drain back to the building face and then downspouts out of that.
Probably.
Okay.
Yes.
I mean, believe it or not, sometimes these things. Again, it's the pedestrian level. What you walk by and touch and see and feel that. Even at this level, if we know where it's going, that's an important aspect.
Yeah, and I think I'd like to remind the board that, you know, Henbart's buildings are done of quality because they're long-term holds for them. So they're wanting to engage the pedestrian level and still provide a nice residency up above.
Mm-hmm.
And the more engagement that happens at the ground level, the more successful the project is.
It's the transparency that we have.
Did you get an answer to your garage door?
I didn't get an answer to it, but I assume Henbart does a really good quality roll-up door for the loading dock, and it'll be semi-transparent with some sort of perforated metal or something.
Yeah, we talked about it last meeting.
Something that. A standard just punched
it's not
perforation.
Be a
okay.
Roll-up gate.
But it's a roll-up door. I mean, sectional roll-up. Okay. And that's, I mean, I assume deliveries aren't at, you know, noon on a weekday, so that door's up and down, up and down. Is it a good assumption that these deliveries are hopefully coordinated to be after hours, off hours?
That assumption is correct. We've talked about this internally on how to get the loading dock to work so we don't have to use the alley,
right.
We don't restrict traffic flow. How can we get the biggest truck we can inside the project so we don't disrupt the neighborhood around us? So we've really gone through that.
I mean, I assume that UPS trucks will come and zoom up to deliver loads of pharmacy stuff, but they're going to just stay on the street and put their blinkers on. But it's the larger pallet loads for Bartels that gets backed in. And
residents. And, you know, they're going to use that as well.
Yeah, retail shop.
Move in and move out. And, so we got all that.
Well, they are as well. The residents use
that
load.
That's the loading dock for the whole.
We're trying to get all of that internally as much as possible.
Okay. Okay.
Anyone else thoughts? Otherwise, I'd entertain motions. Just saying.
I don't know if we have ever approved anything without a relatively official planting plan with species and quantities, and which we don't have at this point.
I thought that one of the previous packets we had a list of the plans or the plants, but that's right. If it's not in this current packet, what will we be voting on to approve then? Yeah, how would we do that?
Does that previous stuff get glommed into this?
Yeah, I know packet? We saw it. It's just not in this newest one. This was more just addressing our comments.
I think you could include it in by motion if I'm just looking for it here and.
I've got it in front of me. It's got the. Yeah. I can't tell the color.
Yeah, I know in the past what we have done, is, you know, if we've had this kind of piecemeal, we've asked the applicant mm-hmm. as part of the decision to get a consolidated packet that includes everything. Yeah. So that way the chair can take a look at that and make sure that everything that the board.
Yeah, I was just thinking procedurally, do we have to have it all together? Could we approve the previous packet with the amendments of the new packet? Like, you know, however it's done, I'm just.
The original CDC, or conceptual, or not conceptual, but the design response had the alley had Japanese stewardias. Mm-hmm. And again, it wasn't all the way across because we had the building element sticking out there, but that's not what's going to go in there now, is that?
We wanted to focus the presentation on the things that were the items that we talked about last. Right. So we pushed it to that. Now, I have a presentation here that Miles has put together that basically has all the updated landscape information that I have. PDF, I don't have it as slides.
Okay. That's. I just want to make sure we're not, you know, overlooking.
No, it's a good point. I think if you approve it by reference for Brad's final review with the final decision, that's fine. Mm-hmm.
The previous visuals really were monochromatic. I mean, that may not have been the intent, but they certainly gave.
Yeah, no, I think they'll take this old information that they just didn't give us this time and add it to what we have today so it's more complete. Mm-hmm. Because we already reviewed this, so they didn't bother printing it and giving it to us this time.
Yeah, this was just a minor update with the Vanderwolf pine added on the back alley.
Yeah, as long as that's in the packet, that's fine for me. Mm-hmm. I just wanted to make sure we weren't leaving it to staff to go, oh, no, this is
thank you.
This mm-hmm. is not good.
No, because I talked about those ginkgos last time. Got a history with those ginkgo trees. mm-hmm. Yeah.
Could you guys just give us a little brief summary at some time in the future of balconies extending out to the street level at at the top level? I think we've done that a lot.
I mean, not to pick a DRB fight here, but I think it's pretty straightforward. There's no balcony on the second level because the first level goes right up, you know, it's got a 0 foot. So it just goes 2 stories, you know, but that's the first floor building. I was thinking, like, if the building is set back and then the balcony goes over, that's where I think that second balcony comes in. But I think it's within the rules. I don't think it's
an issue. No, I was just picking up on Tim's. I hadn't even... sort of rediscovering that's what we've been doing and the reason for it, I guess. You happy with that, Tim?
Nope, but that's fine. It's a majority of
You're happy with that's what we've been doing. That's what I was after. Is that what we've been doing downtown?
No, but we've never had a balcony.
So that's
We haven't had the situation.
The situation with the balcony literally is over the sidewalk. That's the required minimum width sidewalk. We've never had that situation.
Is that right?
I don't think so. Tell me which.
I think the point, and I don't think I fully understood it when we were first talking about it, is the cantilevered balcony portion that doesn't truly have building beneath it. Because certainly if you look at Arate and the project immediately east of this, whose name is Capri, that first floor retail has residential balconies on top of it with varying types of railings, but it all actually has a first floor under it. So if I'm understanding Tim correctly, and I'm looking over there at that middle board, that cantilevered portion is what you're concerned
That's
about.
Right.
And I don't know that there's a precedent downtown for that, but I think it's
anything
the board's judgment on
Hector's development. When we worked on that, was there anything like that?
I don't think so.
Yeah.
I don't think Bungie Studios, we didn't do it there.
There's a fairly, I think it's a fairly unique situation where the building's been pulled back. I mean, if you could, based on the give and take on the setbacks there, if you could push building out and have it underneath that, then it wouldn't technically be a departure from what you've seen in the past.
Right.
It's a matter of whether or not the board's comfortable with that as a massing expression on the building.
Yeah. If I understand correctly, though, the applicant was not required to give up or to have an easement of public property. They just needed to provide a sidewalk of sufficient width given the property line location, correct?
Yeah, you do need a public easement to accommodate the minimum sidewalk width.
But there's no giving up of property. I mean, that the new little property line that's drawn through there is not a true property line. It's just this is what we end up with to get the sidewalk width, no, correct?
Well, and also the realignment of the road.
Yeah, yeah.
The road's being realigned, then offsetting that for the proper 10-foot sidewalk, that's why you get the resulting shape.
And the actual diagram in the code for the scenario that you're describing, which is in the downtown, we're not asking for it as right-of-way, which would preclude upper-story uses. The diagram in the code shows an easement with buildings overhanging.
Keeping the old property line, so that can be the zero setback.
Right,
line,
so it's not a necessary take of upper-story development rights. It's really just trying to keep it at the ground level.
Okay.
And those cantilever areas also provide pedestrian coverage.
True.
So they're a dual purpose. Without us having to pull the building out and make an uncomfortable pedestrian, segment through the site. It's a 300-foot building, so we were trying to break up the facade of the building to come in and out, so you had a more interesting building than just
retail. But we have lots of other situations where there's rain protection and canopy protection that doesn't include people standing on that deck directly above it with a guardrail right there.
Understood.
That's my only point, so.
I think we're done. I will still entertain motions. For example,
my lips
to
are
yeah, adjourn, move to delay, and move to approve. Just an example of some of the motions. Well,
I would go ahead and move for approval of this with the caveats of making sure that the landscaping is included in the packet. I think that's about the only thing that really is missing from this.
You may want to articulate for the conditions of approval your concern about the ceiling of the garage, and that'll just be a note for staff to check that with the building permit.
Okay. What Jeremy said.
All right. We have a motion.
Second.
All right. Those in favor of approving what Jeremy said, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Those opposed?
Aye.
The project's approved. And then no administration reports. So I guess just, Jeremy, if I can get like a full final packet to look through, and heck, I might even, we could just briefly look at it the next meeting or something, and we can, give our official, yes, this includes everything.
Okay. Tony will push that out to you when the approval comes, which may be a few weeks yet. Before that's packaged.
We've got to complete the SEPA review before we can issue the decision. So I may do is ask the applicant to provide those plans and forward them to you, just to make sure that we're all, so it's in case it takes a while, that it's fresh in our memories. So.
Yeah, and it sounds like, they already have that kind of put together. They just tailored their presentation tonight to address our comments, which is nice. It streamlined things, but yeah, we still need something, a complete packet, to approve. But yeah. Otherwise, man, if there's a way to keep some trees, it'd be nice.
Yep.
I don't know. I had to save some of the crappiest little shrubs and sorry-looking trees in other cities. And these trees are so huge. It's surprising that, you know, we don't have anything in the code that's more stringent to keep.
We're going
to
lose all the trees at the library and senior center. Those are all gone.
Mm-hmm.
When it comes, if that ever happens.
Yeah, I don't know if that's can be done in a zoning thing or a building permit thing, but we need to talk to another board or look at the zoning codes to try and keep some heritage trees that are 100 years old.
Yeah, we are.
It's just not under our purview as
no,
the DRB.
No, the Planning Commission is taking a look at Chapter 95, which are landscape standards, mm-hmm. Between now and the end of the year, and looking for updates, but there's, needless to say, a tension there between different parts of the community about the value and rigidity of our current tree regulations.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And there's also kind of a built-in tension between growing in urban areas and zero setbacks.
It's always the balance because, I've certainly run into codes, I think, in Portland where they're just, it's too strict. You can't do it. You can't lay a sidewalk without having, the mayor out there personally, checking the root, disturbance zones. But it's just like some of those trees are so huge, you'll never get something like that back.
Margaret's letter that I don't know if you all read, it was an interesting one because she railed. Mm-hmm. Exactly about that.
I can tell you after the meeting.
Gorgeous.
Mm-hmm.
They're gorgeous.
I can explain to you after the meeting, yeah.
At the Margaret talked about the too many trees in the urban area, that they obscure signage, they mm-hmm. do all kinds of stuff, and take it for what it's worth. But
okay.
An interesting. With nothing else, I would move for adjournment.
Second.
Those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Those opposed? Meeting is adjourned. Thank you, everyone. August.